Statistical control can be thought of as correcting the bivariate correlation to take control variable or variables into account. All different ways that different people get to control. How do we do this? How do we do this and what do we get from it? Is it a substitute for statistical control? Is it a better estimate of the causal relationship of the two variables? Is it a substitute for construct validity? Does it solve under specification? Or is it just probably a better description of the relationship of these two variables than is the bivariate analysis? Most folks reject the first four. It's not a complete substitute for anything. But if we look at this and say, well, shit, that's not much, then what are we going to do? Only perform bivariate analyses, which we know to be limited? Or we expect to construct the full story from convergent research, which is already to answer the same problem? We just have to recognize that this is what we can get out of statistical control. It's all that we can get out of statistical control, is a different and maybe better picture than a less complete model, which takes us all the way back to what we said on the first day, which is the premise for this whole course. On average, more complicated models are better than simpler models. On average. So statistical control is, on average, going to give you a picture that's better than if you don't do it. It's not going to solve the world. It's not a substitute for better measurement, better modeling, better prediction, or all the variables.
Number one, you mean experimental control?
I do.
Just because that didn't make any sense.
That's right. Statistical control is, in fact, an excellent substitute for statistical control. Thank you. All right, so here's how ugly it can get. Now, we look at this, and there's a nice, healthy negative correlation between X and Y. But within a given range of z-scores, we see that the relationship between x and y is positive. Oops. Let me back up. Here's the simplest one. This is the relationship between shoe size and spelling in grade school children. Kids with bigger feet spell better. I don't want to think about that. I don't want to believe that longer... I have pretty short feet. Oh, wait, I spell badly. Shit. But if we look at just first graders, we see there's not a lot of variability in their shoe size, there's not a lot of variability in their spelling ability, and there's no correlation between the two. We look at second graders, we see there's not a lot of variability in shoe size, there's not a lot of variability in spelling, and no relationship between the two. Or in third graders, or in fourth graders. But when you lump those four populations together, we find that as one gets bigger, the other gets bigger, and they're both being pushed around by age. Age is pushing both shoe size and spelling. Some people don't like age, some people prefer exposure to their culture, which is pretty well correlated with age, unless you're getting, you know, time out in the basement with chains and things. Yeah. All right. Here, looks like a substantial negative relationship, but when you take these subgroups, there's nothing in any subgroup. All right. So these two are simple. This is also nice. There's nothing going on no matter where you look. Okay. The middle is often the simplest one. Here, there's really a relationship, but you only see it if you look after controlling for the third variable, holding people constant on that third variable. And then here's the one I wanted to start with, where when you take the whole multiple population group into account, you think there's a negative correlation, but when you look controlling for or holding constant on some third variable at different values, you find that there's in fact a positive correlation. This is the one that we found with our first multiple regression model together, where there's a positive relationship between verbal GRE and graduate school grades, unless you hold analytic and quantitative GRE constant, then there's a negative relationship. All right. So And the good news is that's it. That's all the combinations there are, as long as you only have three variables in your universe. You get up to four variables and it cascades nicely. But do you see the idea? Statistical control allows us to say what happens if we control for one more variable. That's nasty. Overall, we think there's nothing going on. If we control for one thing, it's positive. Control for something else is negative. Control for a third thing, there is nothing going on. What correction you get depends upon which variable or variables you control for under specification. On average, larger models are more accurate, but only on average. Anytime you're underspecified, you've got a distinct possibility of screwing up the model. Here is the first time I'm going to use the word interaction. Here, the relationship between X and Y changes dramatically depending upon what Z value you're at. So there's a lot of different reasons that somebody may come to statistical control. That's what this first part is about. We may do statistical control because we're trying to clean up causation. It might be because we know we're leaving variables out and we want to include them somehow. It may be because we know we have measurement problems and we want to clean that up somehow. But in any case, what we're trying to do is come up with a better depiction of the bivariate story. This is sort of a classic have your cake and eat it too. A lot of that in statistics. I want to give you just a simple bivariate statistic, a correlation, but I want to control for one or more other variables that I don't even want to show you. I just want them controlled for and out of the way. I don't want to look at those nasty regression weights. I just want to control for it and look at the bivariate relationship with that control. So lots of different reasons to end up running statistical control models. Statistical control is about the underlying causal model of the variables. It might be a third variable problem. We know there's a relationship between X and Y. Is that because Z is pushing both of them around? It's the relationship between X and Y because Z is causing both of them. Z might be a causal or a psychometric influence. By psychometric influence, it may be that both of these our timed test. This is a timed essay test. This is a timed multiple choice test. The correlation between them may be caused in part by the fact that they're both timed. And a speeded test of two different kinds may be related to each other just because they're both speeded. A collinearity problem. By ignoring Z, the bivariate misestimates the relationship between these two. This correlation is a different question than asking if this has a separate contribution than this. And when we combine the two, we see the basic issue of mediation. We know there's a relationship here, but we're trying to figure out two things. Is this relationship caused by some variable out here? And what does this contribute that this doesn't? Yes?
I think you're using mediation in a way that's different than I've experienced it. Could you give me a definition?
Sure. Mediation is the idea of an indirect effect.
Okay.
For example, it might be that these two are related, but when you put this in, you see that this contributes nothing that this doesn't already do.
It's a different type of collinearity.
Yes, that's all it is. It's a particular one of the 27 collinearity patterns is called mediation. Statistical control can also be thought of as correcting for underspecification. When we take a bivariate look at part of a multivariate picture, we'll underestimate how much we can know about the criterion. We'll likely misestimate how that predictor relates to the criterion. Leaving predictors out usually leads to an overestimation where a bivariate R is larger than a multivariate beta. Leaving predictors out changes the collinearity structure and might cause us to miss suppressor effects, where the multivariate contribution is large relative to the bivariate relationship. Statistical control is an attempt to improve this. What would be the bivariate relationship between these variables in a population for which the control variable is a constant? It's very much like looking at the beta weight for that predictor in a multiple regression, but is in the form of a corrected, simple correlation. In other words, a semi-partial correlation between y and x controlling x for z is much the same basic information, not the same value, but the same information as the beta weight for x in a model that includes x and z. And is also the difference between a model that does and doesn't include z. Three different ways of asking the same question. Does x tell us anything that z doesn't? The semi-partial, the multiple regression weight, and the test of nested models all tell us the same thing. One of the things that makes this complicated is that in certain versions of the question, those 12 different kinds of hypotheses start to overlap. And you have to know when different people doing different things are saying the same thing. I spent an hour on the phone this weekend because people were arguing about which of these two was what they wanted. They're the same thing. In that, hi, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'll come see you later.
Okay.
They tell you the same thing. They will have the same significant result because they're parallel tests. And I finally got them happy with each other by running this instead. They're arguing between us. We said, well, what if we just looked at a model and we asked whether taking Z out hurts the model? Well, that's what I meant all along, they said in unison. Let's do that. Why? They're the same damn thing. It's like when you take your advisor an F test and they say, I want an T test. Take the square root. No, I really want a T-test. Okay. We know how we are.